Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast, bringing you encouragement and challenging believers to spiritual change and growth by applying biblical principles to everyday life. And now your hosts, Sasso Mendez and Ben Arellano.
Welcome, everybody, to the Abundant Life Podcast. And I'm here today with my good friend and brother in the faith, Sasso Mendez.
Episode 9.
Whoa, episode number 9.
Crazy, man. Right?
Nine in the bag.
Where has the time gone?
Man, that's nuts. How's your week, bro?
So far, okay. It's kind of been a rough week. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But thankful to God for his goodness. And I actually just came off eating brunch, so not much to complain about. I'm excited about today's podcast because we're going into Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
And a lot to be thankful for, even in sadness. There's always gratitude for what God is doing. But I came over today and I wouldn't have eaten if I didn't know you were having tacos. You had like live fresh tacos, not like Taco Tuesday, but Taco Tuesday at Ben's.
It's going to be double Taco Tuesday. We cooked up a pork loin, and usually we do that, you know, on the smoker, and then we chop it up and make pork chops. And it's inevitable, man. We have leftovers, man. So you know me, man. I'm a leftover guy. So.
Were they pork chops or were they steak tacos?
No,
I mean, or pork tacos.
So pork tacos, yeah. So I chopped those, you know, pork chops up after I smoked them and sliced them, and put a little seasoning on them, you know, some cheese, some salsa, little street taco size tortillas, and that's a good lunch, man.
So you're saying you're having that tonight as well?
Tonight we're going to do the hard tacos.
Okay.
We're going to take advantage of the Taco Tuesday, man. So
what is it, $1.50? I didn't think so, right?
It's $1.50.
Yeah,
can't beat that. You know, they got the shredded beef and I like the ground. You know what? I don't know why I like the ground beef. They have good seasoning in it.
I've not tried the ground beef. Is it
pretty
good?
It's pretty good.
Is it hard? Man. Hard shell?
Hard shell. Beef? Hard shell.
Wow. Does it come with a side of Lipitor or?
No. It's an extra $3 for that.
I asked him and they gave me a mean look last time. So maybe I won't ask him this time.
And then have you tried the chicken ones there?
I have not. It's red chicken, right? Like red sauce chicken or what is that?
I don't know. It's like a marinade or something. I don't know. They are good. I mean, I've tried them. I've tried them, but I feel like the ground beef are the most flavorful. But the shredded beef, I mean, I love shredded beef, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't.
Yeah, they're tasty.
That over chicken is.
Yeah.
Unless it's fried chicken, but I don't think they do fried chicken tacos, which is another idea.
Possibly. And I like their salsas too, man. They give me a big old brown bag of salsa. I mean, they just load it.
Do you get the red or the green or you
I
do
like
both?
Oh. Yeah, we do both.
The red's kind of hot.
They're both kind of spicy, man. Yeah. But I like both of them. They're
sweating like a summer day. You know what? I put too much of that on my taco.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So when is your leftovers? Is that for tomorrow? Or are you saying that what you had for lunch was leftover from last night?
Yeah. Well, it was a couple of days ago or something like that. But yeah. So it's leftovers from a couple of days ago. But
like Rebecca made the Caucasian version, if I can say that, on the podcast. And it was with carrots and potatoes. But the meat was fantastic.
Oh, dude, yeah.
So I had to get through the meat. And I ate that with the tortilla. And she's like, it's a roast. I'm like, you don't eat tortillas with roast? She goes, not traditionally. So I guess I'm not a traditional roast.
Traditionally Mexican style. Yeah. I mean, hey, you know.
But it was,
tortillas are very traditional.
I've had that 3 or 4 times as leftovers because she made a lot of it. So
yeah, that's a bomb.
We've been grubbing.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't gone out to eat, thankfully, and has been able to, you know. Because Lainey came over and we went out to eat a lot and, yeah. So, well, Lainey's expensive. I'll say that for the record. So we got to eat at home, ramen and pork roast that last, you know, 2 weeks maybe.
But hey, man, she was down for In-N-Out, man. That's, you know, that's not too expensive, right?
No,
could have went Whataburger. What are those? Whataburger would have been more expensive.
Yeah, it would have been. But she already took her to Whataburger 2 days prior, so she did both. Yeah. So what are the?
You're welcome, by the way, Lainey.
You got saved there by Ben. Hey, what was the, what are those fries? Animal fries?
Animal style fries, yeah.
I don't think she got that. Usually she does, and that's another $260, $250.
Really? They charge you extra for that?
Yeah, it's cheese, and it's a special. It's
cheese, the sauce, and the, and grilled onions.
Yeah. She loves that sauce, so I think she sweats that sauce. she loves it. Rebecca sent her some. I think she saved it. She brought it all the way from Phoenix to Virginia.
Yeah.
I don't know how well it kept, but Lainey has an iron stomach, so I think she was okay. She survived.
Well, I'm a little bummed because we're not doing a traditional Thanksgiving this year, so turkey tacos might be out the window, dude. I don't know.
What are you doing?
I don't know. We might go out to eat. We might go to, wherever they serve up turkey dinners. I don't know. It's because there's a whole bunch of reasons behind it, but we're not doing anything in particular this week other than hanging out.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on right now, and yeah, we just decided, you know what? Let's just go out and get takeout or sit or go dine in somewhere, as long as you can dine in.
I know there's a restaurant local. We can talk off the air on that one, but yeah. Wow. Awesome. That's crazy. Awesome.
Okay. So, but anyway, how about you, man? You guys doing a traditional?
Yeah, honestly, Rebecca has not gone to the store. Just kind of been a weird week, you know, with her dad being sick and passing away this week. But she's going to go to the store today and get her turkey. But usually she's, well, she said, if anything, they don't have turkey, we'll have mashed potatoes and green beans. So we'll have a carb, you know, well, I guess two carbs, but I think there's protein, there's green beans as well.
Nothing wrong with carbs, bro.
No. So
I'll throw some corn.
We may have to go for tacos. I'm sure the taco place is open.
Oh, taco places are
definitely. Can you have turkey tacos? Oh, no, sorry. Oh, so I don't know. So we plan on having something, but we'll see after the store today.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Hopefully there's more turkeys than there is toilet paper. We'll just keep our fingers crossed for that one.
I don't know about that, man. I think the teepee's gone, bro.
Well, as long as they have turkeys, we're okay.
Yeah.
Because we have fresh teepee at the house. Thanksgiving style.
There you go. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the episode. You know, being the week of Thanksgiving, I mean, you know, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving here in a couple of days. It's an American holiday. And so Sasso and I decided to talk about an attitude of gratitude. And so we just wanted to talk about what it means to be thankful, what gratitude is. And so Sasso, you want to kick us off with the 1828?
Absolutely. All right. 1828 Webster's Dictionary defines gratitude as an emotion of the heart, excited by a favor or benefit received, a sentiment of kindness or goodwill towards a benefactor. Thankfulness. Gratitude is an agreeable emotion consisting in or accompanied with goodwill to a benefactor and a disposition to make a suitable return of benefits or services, or when no return can be made, with the desire to see the benefactor prosperous and happy. Gratitude is a virtue of the highest excellence, as it implies a feeling and generous heart and a proper sense of duty. The love of God is the sublimest or the supreme of all gratitude.
Yeah, and it seems that, you know, we say thank you or we say thanks, you know, quite often, but do we really mean it? Mm. Are we really truly thankful, or have we become callous to the point that we just mindlessly say these words, you know? And I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, which is interesting because Pastor just preached on this past weekend. He was trying to steal our thunder for the episode, but no, not really. But let's go ahead and read this verse. It says, "Rejoice always." Okay. And it's interesting because all these ideas are tied together. You know, the rejoice, the pray, but let's read it. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Amen. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you."
And there are times in our life, Ben, where it does not seem appropriate to thank God, or we feel like we shouldn't, but we must recognize God's sovereignty and realize He allows all things in our life for His purpose and His pleasure. I think just as we were talking earlier, and, you know, I wouldn't say unfortunately, but my father-in-law went home to be with the Lord this past Sunday night, and it doesn't seem that we can rejoice in death or rejoice in sorrow, but we can because we know where my father-in-law is and the life that he lived, and he lived his whole life for God. Or, you know, when he left, as he got older, he, you know, came out here to Arizona to be a missionary to Avondale, Arizona, because Avondale, Arizona back in the day was pretty far out there. It's kind of still is, but it's more populated now.
Yeah.
And just to serve God, and he lived his whole life in that regard to to be with God, to meet with him. And he got promoted in a sense to his permanent home. Yeah. And you've heard the song, This Road Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through.
Yep.
And even though he leaves a void, you know, in our lives here on earth, definitely we can rejoice that he's with the Father. And that's every Christian's hope, every Christian's desire, is that one day we would be with God. Yeah. So even in all circumstances, even in circumstances of death, we can rejoice always. And this verse just comes alive to me in this week that I can see that true human sorrow for those that are left behind, but also true joy from those that are left behind in knowing that he's with his heavenly Father and he's healed. He's not sick anymore. He's not bound by the flesh here on earth.
Yeah.
And I rejoice with him in that. And also think of a man in our church who his wife was in childbirth and she passed away. and during childbirth. And my sister was there that night because she worked at the same hospital. And he held his baby that did not, his baby died and his wife died in the same, you know, she is delivering him. Wow. And he held the baby and still prayed and thanked God for that. Mm-hmm. And just that was always a powerful impression upon me, because how tough would it be to lose your wife,
wow,
and your baby, and hold your baby and say, thank you, God, even in this circumstance. And I think that's the true meaning of that verse. That, I mean, maybe there's time we don't think we can give thanks, but God is sovereign, and we realize that all things are controlled by Him. And He allows things to happen for our benefit, for our good, and that in these things we should trust Him and just say, thank you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Because that's God's will in our life. And I would say sometimes I am not always the most, truthfully not always as thankful as I should be. And as believers, we should have a heart of gratitude overflowing for what has been done in our life.
Yeah.
I think if we just reminisced about what we were without Christ, even reminisced about the times we were away from Him in Christ, we would realize like, and that's just a very small sample of all the things that we have to be thankful for.
Oh yeah.
I look at Psalms 95, 1-3. It says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Mm-hmm. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Brother, He's just the rock of our salvation. He's the rock in which we should praise and be thankful for. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. I mean, honestly, we could park it here, and we should be speechless when it comes to this gift of salvation. You can go back to a further episode of that we did about the gift that's coming up here in episode number 10 about the gift, the greatest gift of all. So be on the lookout for that. But we'll talk about more about that. But maybe because it is unspeakable, we feel like we should be silent, but it's not. But we, as a people, we should be thankful for what God has done in our life and for sending His Son to die for us. What an unspeakable gift He's given us.
And I like that, you know, you, in that verse, it says, thanks be unto God. And so that's my question. Who are you thankful to? Because I hear a lot of people say things like, you know, thank goodness, or I'm thankful for, you know, X, Y, Z. But it's not often that I hear people giving God thanks. You know, after all, when you give thanks, you are giving or directing your thanks at someone, but whom is that someone? Around this time of year, there's going to be millions of Americans, you know, and they're talking about things that they are thankful for, but you likely may not hear them say to whom they are thankful. Maybe they might just say, I'm thankful for this and that, but to whom are they thankful? It is God who showers us with love and blessing.
Amen.
It is God who we should be thankful to. We read in the book of Luke a story of Jesus who ran into 10 lepers, and they all cried out to Jesus for mercy, and Jesus healed them. And in Luke 17, verses 15 through 16, we read this. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. So only one thanked Jesus, and he was a Samaritan, which meant that culturally, he wouldn't have any dealings with Jesus. Then in the next two verses, we see Jesus' response. So this would be Luke 17, verses 17 through 19. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.
And in these verses, how we cry out to God to have mercy on us, just like these lepers did. They called out to God, and God helped them. And we do the same when we receive Him as our Savior. But how soon we forget to thank Him. There's a church sign by my house right now that, if you want to take it out, it's 54th and Union Hills. And it just said, what if we had today the things that we thanked God for yesterday? Mm. So I went home, I said, thank you for my bed, thank you for my home, thank you for my wife, mm-hmm. thank you for my salvation. All these things that God's given us. And God is merciful and just continues to give us and provide for us, even when we don't say thank you. That's not why He does these things for us. But honestly, if we were to look at it and if we were to take away, the things that we got were the things we thanked Him for, how much would we really have?
Yeah.
And it's so easy for us to, and we look at these lepers and say, man, these are terrible people. But we're the 9. We're rarely the one that will say thank you to God.
Yeah, that's it.
We have you know, disdain for those nine, but that don't give thanks. But hey, I'm part of that group of myself.
Yeah.
I have forgotten that I have been cleansed, and many days I have taken that for granted, if not most days. And I think of my teenage years and just how pride, you know, filled my heart. And even still now, I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't struggle with pride, but just always didn't know anything, but thought I knew everything and argued that I was right on everything.
Yep.
And that's just kind of, we just soon forget who we were. And that's just our pride looking at others instead of looking at ourselves. So my question today to you that are listening, where do you line up with these lepers? Are you part of the nine? Are you the one that, are you the Samaritan that thanks God for what he's done in your life? I believe the ratio was given to us because there are few that thank him and more so that do not thank him.
Yeah. And I wonder how many times, you know, I've, you know, not thanked God or acknowledged God and give him the praise that he deserves. You know, after all, we should be thanking God for everything. The Bible tells us that God gives us every good gift. James 1:17 says this, every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So our natural response should be to give God thanks in everything. Psalm 136:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. In the Psalms, you will find that King David, he's giving thanks, or he gives God thanks for his mercies and his deliverance. And I know Sasso is going to go on a rampage in a minute and share some of those Psalms. Huh. But the Psalms are great. I mean, they're prayers. They're songs, but they're like prayers, and they're heartfelt prayers. They're from the heart. Psalm 30 verses 11 and 12, it says, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Amen. We read in Job how Job experienced tragic loss. Okay. And just like Sasa was talking about here a little bit ago, they've experienced a little bit of this week. And so Job, he lost all of his possessions, and more importantly, he lost his entire family. And if that wasn't bad enough, Job lost his health too.
Wow.
But let's read Job's response. Job 1:21, and he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
This is 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in action. Okay, he is giving God thanks and praise in his current circumstances. Christian, how do you respond when you are in a trial or what seems to be a bad circumstance? You know, a couple of weeks ago, and Sasso knows this
right already, after the podcast.
Yeah, it was right after. You know, my hot water heater had busted, and so unfortunately, the water spilled over. It didn't have the proper drain coming out of the drain pan, so it leaked back into my house. And unfortunately, that was where it leaked back into the house was my office. And so I got to be honest with you, I didn't have an attitude of gratitude that day. I wasn't thankful in my circumstances. I absolutely failed 100%. And, you know, even looking back now, I look and it was so trivial. It's like it happens in the moment. You're just like, oh, you know, I got to deal with this and got to deal with insurance and I got to deal with this and I'm in the middle of that and I don't have time for this. And, you know, and you just get this attitude. And honestly, I look back and man, it was kind of trivial. I mean, I called Sasso that day and he's probably, you know, I'm chewing his ear out, probably, you know, just complaining on a rampage there. You know, he's gracefully listening, you know, he's trying to help me. And, but yeah, I did not have a good attitude. In fact, back when I had, ruptured my Achilles tendon, these verses are some of the verses that I hung on to when that happened. 1 Peter 1:6-7, it says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials or testing, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
We should always give thanks regardless of the circumstances we are in. The Bible, it doesn't say to be thankful for our circumstances. I mean, it never says you have to be thankful for your circumstances, but it says be thankful in our circumstances. And that's a big difference. Okay. So what are you thankful for? I want to ask you, the listener, that here are some things I'm thankful for. I'm thankful to God for my wife, for my three sons, for my mom, my dad, and my brothers in the faith. Sasso, I'm so thankful for you and your friendship. I'm thankful for my church, my pastors, and most of all, I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Without Jesus in my life, I'd be on a fast and furious highway to destruction. I'm certainly not perfect, but God's grace and mercy are much bigger than me and my foolish sin.
Hey, man, just to answer your question there, what are you thankful for? And I do thank God for being raised in a Christian home, being exposed to God's word that are, since I was born from the, I don't know, the nursery, if they're saying verses to me, but,
amen.
And I was so ungrateful for that time in my life. Like, man, we have to go to church again.
Yeah.
Like this week of Thanksgiving, it was our church revival week. Oh, wow. And we would have service on Thanksgiving morning. And I was always bitter. Like, are you serious? Like the Lions are the first game that come on. I want to stay and watch the Lions. And I was so bitter. And these people from church are crying out their eyes and saying, God is good. And I'm like, He is, but I want to go home and eat turkey and watch football.
I think there's some people in our church that do that now.
Oh, really?
They're happy to go home and watch football, you know?
Ooh. Oh, boy. I didn't bring the steel toes today.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry. I had to throw that one in there.
But I mean, I thank God for, you know, the heritage of my family and my mom and dad starting the new generation of Christianity.
Yeah.
They didn't grow up in a Christian home. And, you know, I have my sister and three kids, Lainey, Nate, and Kate, Rebecca, and I was going to bring this up in the list in the podcast and put it in the notes here, and just how we become really good friends and just where we were a year ago. Like we were cool, but not like this.
Yeah.
And you've been an encouragement to me. So I thank God for you and your family as well. And you think of times like these where times of sorrow, and it's good to have friends that praying for you. Yeah. And so I thank God for you, brother. And just, you know, we talk about tacos and things like that, but more importantly, we can share God's goodness, amen. God's edification, sharpening, things like that. So a lot of things to be thankful for. Thankful for tacos, absolutely, because food, God sustains us. And just on Freedom That Last, we did a message on God's goodness and how he feeds us, literally feeds us, and he takes care of us, all those needs, and all the animals he feeds as well. So just thankful for a lot of things. And I kind of reiterate that. What are you thankful if you're saved? If you're a Christian, are you thankful for your salvation?
Yeah.
Are you thankful that you're born again?
Amen.
Are you thankful that your life is not what you thought it would be? Sometimes we complain about what we think it should be, but maybe we have these aspirations to be a CEO or to be an attorney or to be a doctor, and you know, maybe we're just a laborer. And I look at the Bible and he says, in all labor, there is profit. And whatever God has given to you to make money is just, that's just a job here you have on earth. And we'll have a job in heaven much greater than that.
Amen.
And this is just the means God has given us to provide for us as he always has. So, I mean, we could do a 3-hour episode on the things that, we have to be thankful for. And just, as I was saying, I just make a joke of this: as I sleep, I always face the east. And I said, that's because if God comes, I'm ready to go straight forward. And as I lay there in bed, I kind of visualize him coming one day, and I just thank him for the bed I'm in, and my wife and the blankets. And even in the summer, we turn the air down so we can put blankets. Have no idea why we do that. That's Rebecca. Okay, she wants the air on. I get it, but it's just, that's just not put the blankets on. But anyway, but just even in Arizona, we're thankful for air conditioning here that God has given us. And I remember a couple of months back, you were getting yours fixed, and that was a fiasco. And so you kind of been through a lot this year with the house and just different things. So, and now if you look at Ben's house now, he's painting. I mean, it's going to look good, but it's in various stages of, and then the water heater. So you would understand his pain if you were in his shoes. But I just, there's so much to be thankful for. In Genesis 50:20, but as for you, you thought evil against me. This is Joseph.
Mm.
People think evil against you at times, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Mm. It seems in life people may have an evil plot against us. And sometimes that's true. And sometimes it's just a figment of our imagination where we just think the world's angry at us. But we must realize that God has allowed that in our lives. Even if it is evil, he sometimes has a means that those things are good. If we trust him, we have to realize that he's able to do great things even in the trials of our life. Joseph saved many lives, but one would argue that it came at a price for him personally. He suffered through a lot. And if you look at Joseph's life, he just continued to trust God.
Yep.
He didn't say, woe is me. He didn't say, I have terrible brothers.
Pity party.
Pity party. This woman was attracted to me. And
yeah.
I left her. I did the right thing. And look at what happened to me. It still didn't get me good. I interpreted dreams. And they said, I won't forget you. And what did he do? He forgot me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop. I'm just going to quit.
Right.
No, he continued to be thankful. He continued to do things for God. He continued to just believe and trust. Romans 5:19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Just as one man sinned into the world, God's price, his sending the son, paid the price so that we could all have the righteousness of God in ourselves.
Amen.
The great expense it was for him, but oh, that we would be the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was perfect, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to kind of go over some verses here, Ben, just like as you said, and we go through the Psalms here. And if you look at Psalms, I mean, there's an infinite number of verses we could use here. Yeah. But we have to stop at some point. You don't want to listen to a 7-hour podcast for the year. Psalms 9:1 says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. We must be sincere in our thanks and not simply be by doing it out of duty, but meaning it from the bottom of our heart. As God already knows what's in our heart. He already knows our true motive and meaning.
Yes.
Do you praise him with your whole heart, or do you hold back because you feel you deserve more? I tell you one time, just be transparent with you. I was maybe married 2 years, and I always tell Rebecca what I want for Christmas, and I don't want her to deviate from that. I say, it's like, okay, I'm telling you this is what I want. Don't get creative, okay? Just give me what I want. I was very young, okay? I was stupid. I was 25. And so she got me a couple things on my list, and she said, I have a surprise for you. And I'm like, okay, so I'm thinking it's going to be something I'm going to love or whatever. And I open it up, and it's a dartboard. And I was so disappointed. And I said, dartboard? Why did you buy me a dartboard? Because I thought you would like to play darts. I go, do I play darts now? She said, no, but I thought you like it. I go, because I don't like it. Why would you buy me a dartboard? And my dad even got mad at me. And he's like, you should be grateful for getting a gift. And I wasn't grateful. And I felt like I deserved more. And instead of praising the Lord, thanking God that we could even buy gifts, here I was complaining about a dartboard. So if you tell Rebecca the dartboard, she'll know. And I was a jerk.
I'll have to ask her next time.
I hurt her feelings on Christmas Day. How do you do that? I don't know. If you ask me, I'll give you 101 ways to do so. I can write the book on that. So be grateful for all that you get.
Amen.
Even if it is a dartboard, which I should have just kept. But she returned it because I was an idiot. But we'll move on.
You could have put that in your garage, man. It would have fit perfectly in there.
I thought
we could play darts.
I think now, why didn't I keep it?
I don't know.
It's been cool.
Man.
So if she can get
it. Was it the cork? Was it the real thing?
It was a, no.
Or was it one of those, one that had like the scoreboard on it and stuff? It kept,
yes.
kept track and
It
stuff.
Was a novelty one. Oh, it wasn't cool. like a professional one.
Okay, I got you.
But from what I did, I mean, I probably couldn't even hit the thing. That's probably why I was mad at her. But if she gave me a dartboard now, I would whatever she gave me, it'd be fine. Even if it's a MyPillow. As you took a picture with that guy at the mall. But we won't go into that.
I have one of those. They're good. I'm thankful for my pillow.
I'm going to have to get that. Maybe put that on my wish list. Get back into business here. Psalms 136:25 says, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever? Taco talk, right? Who gives us food to all flesh? Yeah. So you can put in there, who giveth tacos? Who giveth fried chicken? Who giveth, you know, the vegetarians out there, who giveth the food tastes like dirt to all flesh? It's God, right?
Earthy flavors.
Earthy flavors, exactly. Not meat. I don't know what they call it.
Go on, let's go on.
But his mercy doth forever. He's the one that gives food to all flesh. Psalms 145:9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works.
Amen.
And then I think about this too when he says he is good to the just and the unjust. He's good to everybody. He's a loving God. Psalms 1:7-9. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. What has he done for you in your life? Has he been good to you? Does he satisfy your hungry soul with his goodness? God, help us to have our soul filled with only what he could fill it with. God is so good. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And David was saying this while he's being chased and sought after, but he still praised the Lord according to his righteousness and sang praises to the one who is most high. Psalms 100, verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Psalms 95, 2-3, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. And man, I just, like I said, before I go to bed, I try to pray to him and just thank him for the things. And I try to start the day the same way. Sometimes I don't, but just praising him for his goodness. And we live here in Arizona, and as I said, my body faces east, and I can see that sunset, and it's just another faithful reminder that he is in control, and he's let the sun rise upon me one more day and give me another day of life. He is my God, and how I should praise him. The sun is setting as I sit on the bed, as I said before, and he's given me a bed, a roof, a pillow. He's provided me another day that he's given to me to serve him, to live for him. Amen. He is a great God, and there is none like unto our God. It would do us well to bring praise to him instead of complaining of what the day may bring. Hard to complain when you start praising him.
Yep.
And as you get older, you know that when you get out of bed, it's not as a symphony as it used to be. The symphony sounds like it's warming up, as you know, we talked about last episode.
All percussion, bro. Yeah, it's all percussion.
Like fireworks are going off with your bones, you know, cracking. But God's allowed us to see another day, and praise God for that. Psalms 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. In the moments of great sorrow and heartache, we often don't know where to turn or who to trust, but our God is our strength and our shield. In the cry of sorrow, our heart can rejoice in him with song, as he can be trusted and depended on. Matthew 26:40, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And I think, Ben, as friends, we have good intentions of praying for people, and sometimes we do, and there's times we just flat out forget. Yep. And that's what he was telling his disciples, like, you couldn't wait for me an hour? And that's why I'm thankful that he is our strength, he is our shield, because he doesn't forget. He still prays for us, and he doesn't forget about us. He doesn't need a prayer list. He doesn't need a iCal reminder, but he is always on it. He knows exactly what we need. I'm going to add some verses in here. Just Psalms 113:1-3. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
Amen.
We often fail people in the greatest time of needs, but our God is always faithful. Oh, how we should praise him.
Amen. Man, that's quite a verse list there. And like Sasso mentioned, I mean, we could be here all day in the book of Psalms. I mean, there's a lot of psalms of thanksgiving. There's some psalms of mourning and things like that. But there's a lot of thanksgiving in the Psalms.
Amen.
It's definitely good to read the Psalms when you're kind of, you know, feeling down or whatever. You read about David, like you said, he's being chased, you know, by Saul trying to kill him, and he's giving thanks to God.
Amen.
So, but I want to transition now, and I want to talk a little bit about you know, what gives us ingratitude or causes us to be unthankful. And there's a couple things that can cause ingratitude. First one is pride. Now, I wonder if the 9 unthankful lepers that Jesus healed were too proud to give thanks. It's interesting that the only one that returned was the Samaritan. And it's almost as if the others had a sense of entitlement because they were Jews. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to read between the lines here. I don't know. The scripture, the text does not say. But pride will always be a hindrance to gratitude. Amen. It's because we want to think that we've achieved something or that we're the ones that made it happen. Hmm. And scripture clearly tells us that with God, anything is possible. It doesn't say that with man, anything is possible.
That's right.
We recorded an episode solely on the topic of humility, which I believe is episode 4. I've been getting the episodes wrong today, but I believe it is episode 4.
Don't quote me.
And I highly recommend going back to listen if you've not already done so. You know, don't be too proud to go back and listen. No, I'm just messing with you. So another reason, though, I think is discontentment. You know, I find it fascinating that as Americans, we are the most blessed country on this planet, yet it seems as if we are the most discontent. A lot of it is because we've morphed into this entitlement culture. You know, I deserve this thing because of who I am. And if I don't get what I want, then I have the right to be discontent or upset or angry. Mm. Another huge reason for discontentment is coveting. In Exodus, we read the Ten Commandments, and God doesn't just tell you not to covet. He gives us some pointed examples. Why? Because God knows our That's wicked right. hearts. Yeah, so let's read it. Exodus 20, verse 17, it says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servants or his female servants or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." It's having a strong desire for something that God has forbidden. Coveting can cause us to be jealous and envious of our brothers or sisters in the faith. We have this ridiculous tendency to compare ourselves with one another. And if that person has one-upped you, then the coveting begins, which can lead to the sins of the heart. For example, if you covet your neighbor's wife, Jesus told us in the book of Matthew not to look on a woman and lust because that's known as adultery.
That's right.
Coveting can even lead to outward sins. Let's say that you covet your neighbor's new fancy car. In your mind, you think to yourself, well, he doesn't even deserve it. Well, you know, you can't steal it, but you could go and you could key the car. This exact thing happened to me in high school, by the way. So crazy. Yeah, it was
a really keyed your car.
It was a really nice car. My parents bought me a car, you know, when I was a senior in high school. It was nice, shiny red, brand new. And it got keyed on a couple different occasions. And so I think it was just people coveting. Could have been just people that just haters, you know, but it has happened.
That's crazy.
So now it's time to break out.
Well, you warned us now, but you didn't warn us before.
I know. I'm sorry. I kind of broke out with that one. It was unexpected.
Woo.
But now it's time to break out the old steel toe boots because I'm about to do some stomping.
Oh, my.
So in my opinion, one reason our culture today is so covetous is due to social media. We look at those vacation pictures, or maybe it's a picture of someone's spouse.
Photoshop.
Or it could be Photoshop, right? Or maybe it's the new car your friend bought, or the new house that your family member purchased, or maybe it's a picture of your best friend with a different friend.
MySpace top five.
That's it, man. Or how about this one? Someone else got more likes, you know, more hearts or more thumbs up on their posts. Okay. And then what happens? We covet, we lust, we get angry, we get prideful, we get jealous, we get envious. We, you know, and we'll even go as far as to resent that person as if they didn't have the right to have something that you don't have. Christian, please be careful with social media.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Coveting leads to discontentment, which is an open door to more sin. In reality, coveting is dissatisfaction with what God has given to us.
And God, I mean, God should, because of what God has done for us, we should have a heart of gratitude, not a heart of discontent. And I've been guilty of social media. And I told you in weeks past, I have a wish list. It's ever going.
Well, you know, it's interesting about social media. I didn't mention this, and I guess really intend on going on a rabbit trail, but I've seen some interviews with some of the top execs of like Facebook, and they say that they actually understand the psyche behind it and they know what they're doing, because what ends up happening is you get this, what they call it, a feedback loop. You ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
So what ends up happening is, you know, you post something, you get likes, and then you see that you got likes. Well, in your brain, chemically, it releases, I think it's endorphins or...
Yeah, endorphins.
Yeah,
feel good.
Yeah, it releases. And so then you see that you got likes. It releases those endorphins. So what do? You go post again and you get likes. And then it is slowly building an addiction, you know. But then when somebody doesn't like, or I mean, it's causing all these crazy things to happen in your mind mentally when you're, you know, coveting, jealousy, envy, you know, they're not thinking about those things. They're just thinking about keeping you on the platform so they can put an ad in front of you so that they can make money, because that's how all social media works. But anyway, I didn't intend to get on that rabbit trail, but it's actually how it works. That's how it's engineered.
But as you talk about that, I recently went out with a friend and I used to work with. And that's what he told me. He said, I think I'm going to unfriend these people because they're looking at my pictures, but they're not liking them. And wow. Why are they he feels like, why are they looking at them if they're not liking them? That's kind of messed up. And to me, it sounds funny, but it's a true statement that people care. And I was in the same boat and just like, oh, how many Facebook friends you have? And there's a difference between Facebook friends and real friends.
Exactly.
But we're all sometimes... it seems silly, but we're all sucked into that trap sometimes.
It's a vortex,
man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So those are things that we shouldn't have, right? We shouldn't be resentful. We shouldn't be covetousness. We shouldn't be jealous, because God really has given us so much. And this should be our attitude. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. When you have covetousness and when you have resentment, your heart's not resting. There's no peace of God there. There's you can't have peace of yourself. So when you entertain covetousness and things like that, you're not being thankful.
Right.
The peace of God cannot rule in your heart because you're not allowing Him to. Mm-hmm. And once you realize what the peace of God is, there's nothing that satisfies like that. Not even my wish list that I have out there can come close to that, because it's just God gives you something that cannot be bought or given by man. 1 Chronicles 29:10-13. This is some great verses. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and this is he's gonna build a temple before God, and he's giving thanks. He said, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be Thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Not us, thou art exalted. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. David, wanted to build this temple. God did not allow him, and the people were giving, and Solomon was going to come in and build the temple for God. But David spoke here of the goodness of God. So how are you doing in that department? How are you doing in speaking the goodness of God? Are you speaking of the ill of others? Are you speaking of how God is good in all things? Do people ever hear you speak of the goodness of God, or do they always hear you complaining, guilty?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you thank him and praise his glorious name? Psalms 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well."
Amen.
And I used to think, Freedom at Last, he did the message of God's goodness, and literally I can put my whole thumb in my nostril, because I have they call it a Mendez nose. And Rebecca
I think I got one of those.
See, there goes my thumb. Rebecca makes fun of me, and I said, "Hey, but when I get sick, that runny nose comes right out."
There you go.
And gets it out, right? And you look at yourself, and there's things, if you get into a mirror, it's not hard to pinpoint. I try to play hide and seek with the mirror at times. And this, maybe you have a mole on your face. You're like, "Man, I don't know why I have that. You don't like it." Or a bald spot. I'm getting a bald spot here in the front, trying to do a comb over here. And but God made us this way. Maybe you wanted blue eyes and you got brown. Maybe you wanted to have long flowing hair, but God gave you short coarse hair.
I think girls do that all the time. The ones that have straight hair want the curly hair, and the ones that have curly hair, they straighten their hair because they want.
So, I know why you're curly. It looks beautiful. Why are you straightening it? Yeah. And then vice versa.
Yeah.
But we do the same. Anyway.
Yep.
I sold it back. If it goes, I'm just gonna shave it all off, and I'll never have to get a haircut.
Dude, I have an ugly head, so I feel bad for Diane.
Wear a hat all the time. You know what I mean? I maybe get the toupee. I don't know. But do we praise him, or do you complain to him and others how you look? But. God made you that way for a specific purpose, for his glory, his honor. And as I told you before, Rebecca says, "I have a mean face." I think which is just PC for ugly. So you got a mean face. But I didn't have anything to do with that. God made me that way. And he says, "I will praise thee." So we are to praise God for how he made us. And if you ever talk to Dr. Watson, and she gets down into how the cells you communicate with, how your body works, is pretty amazing and pretty wonderful. Yeah. Even how we're speaking right now, and it's just sound that our mind is interpreting as words. It's just how God is a brilliant designer. Amen. And we don't praise him enough for how fearfully and wonderfully he has made us. And I also think of how he is our fortress. The Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him."
Amen. And so what can we do to change our attitudes? Because sometimes we don't have these attitudes of gratitude, just like when my hot water heater broke. So how do we change it? I feel as if we are conditioned to always see the worst in everything. For starters, we need to be looking for the good. God is so good. He has given us so much. He's given us eternal life through his son. And that alone is beyond any riches that anyone could achieve. The Bible tells us to take up our cross daily and follow him. And I think we need to remember the cross daily so that Amen. We can be thankful for the most precious gift that we've received. On top of that, we have our daily bread that God gives us. He gives Amen. Us new mercies every day. We are blessed with so many people and so many things. God is truly Amen. A giver of good gifts. And another thing we should do is pray. And I like to use the acrostic of pray, and I think you guys use that at FTL too.
Correct, in that journal book.
Or in the journal book, yeah. And you know, the first time I heard this was, I think it was when Steve Pettit came down to preach. But he uses this acrostic, so it's P-R-A-Y. So P, praise, R, repent, A, ask, and Y, yield. And the first one on the list is to praise, and I love that, okay? You know, we should offer praise and thanks, and sometimes I feel like we jump into our prayer immediately asking for something. You know, we've not even acknowledged that God has granted us great blessings, you know, or even the fact that thank you, God, you actually listened to me. Amen. You know, you hear my prayer. You know, it's sort of like the guy that you greet, you know, and then he immediately wants to get down to business even without asking how you're doing. You know, it's just a small gesture to show that you care. But I realize that not every prayer is some long, elaborate, well-thought-out psalm. But I feel as if we should always thank God, for he is so good.
Amen.
Part of praising God is to acknowledge him and his works so that God gets the glory. This shows God that our hearts are thankful because we are praising him and exalting his name.
So as we close out this podcast, my question to you is, do you trust in him? Does this world have you worried as we have seen 2020 come to close and 2020 being an unprecedented year in a lot of ways? But the fact is that God has not changed. God is still the same. God Amen. Is still on the throne. God is still our provider. So who is your fortress? Is it God, or is it your 401k? Is it the government?
Wow.
Who will you trust in today? What I'm going to just quote brothers on the Just Thinking podcast, the Prince of Preachers, C.H. Spurgeon.
Yeah.
When others behave badly to us, it should only stir us up the more heartily to give thanks unto the Lord, because he is good. And when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we should only the more reverently bless him that he is good. Mm. We must never tolerate an instant unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. Whatever may be questioned, this is absolutely certain, that Jehovah is good.
Amen.
His dispositions may vary, but his nature is always the same. Do you see God as good in your life? Do you realize how good your God is? Are you truly thankful to God for all that he has done for you? Do you count your blessings? Is God truly good? Do you believe that? Do you tell him? I mean, I think I've used this example many times, and I probably did a last podcast where we talked about how the husband and wife drove together in the same car, and you know, the wife, you know, 30 years later said, hey, when we were first dating, you used to be right next to me. And, you know, now you're far apart. And the husband said, hey, I never changed. And even in that mindset, we think of like, when we're married, we tell our wife, hey, I love you. And then 30 years later, she said, well, you haven't told me that you love me. And he goes, well, if it changes, I'll let you know. Right. And that's how we are. Sometimes with God, we will say, hey, if I'm not thankful, I'll let you know. But we need to tell him that he's thankful. Does he know our hearts? Absolutely. But he wants to hear it from his children.
Yes.
Thank you. Just as I had a friend one time that, I don't know, I took him out to eat 50 times. He was poor. And he never said, thank you. And I said, bro, I'm upset. He said, why? I said, because you never say thank you. He said, well, I'm thankful. I appreciate it. I go, yeah, but it never comes out of your mouth. Oh, he said, and he simply says, okay, thank you. And I was like, you're not missing the point. And I think that's how I am with God. God gives us all these things. And I say, he knows I'm thankful, but we need to tell him. We need to praise him. That needs to come out of our lips. May we have an attitude of gratitude, not just Thanksgiving, but not for the one day of Thanksgiving, but where it seems to be that we're more thankful for the turkey than anything else. But maybe we have an attitude of gratitude where praise is continually on our lips to our Heavenly Father and our God, who loves us so much and gives us so much every moment of our lives.
Amen. And so I'd like to wrap up this podcast with a prayer of Thanksgiving, if that's okay. I want to do a prayer of thanksgiving to God, who, you know, he's worthy of our praise and thanks. So, Amen. So let's take a moment and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are and for your endless mercy and grace upon us. Thank you for your son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, your horrific death on the tree that purchased me a sinner, pulled me from the bonds of sin, and has given to me life everlasting. Amen. Thank you for your patience with us. Please forgive us for our ingratitude, our discontentment, our covetousness. Please humble us and help us not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Amen. Lord, thank you for my wife and my three sons, my parents, my family. Thank you for my brother Sasso and his friendship and putting him in my life to encourage me in my walk with you. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters in the faith who encourage and exhort me to walk with you. Thank you for all the blessings that you give to us, even though we don't deserve them. Amen. Thank you for every good and perfect gift that is from you. Yes. Please help us to be thankful and content with what you give to us. I pray for all the listeners listening to this episode. Would you please bless and protect them? Amen. Would you allow your word to change and renew their minds? And may they know how much you deeply love them.
Amen.
Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Sasso and I would love to personally thank you, the listener, for your prayers and support. We pray that this episode has been an encouragement to you. And if you've not done so, please do subscribe to the podcast so that you get notified when a new episode drops. So we hope that you guys have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
And God bless. See you on the next episode.
See you next time.
Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Abundant Life Podcast. We pray you were blessed by today's episode. Please visit us online at abundantlife.fm. Until next time, may God bless you.